Well, if you've been following along with us, we have been in this series called Creed, looking at some different beliefs. And so welcome to those in the room. Welcome to those online. I'm always amazed how many people, different people are watching online. It's kind of amazing. We probably don't think of that. I don't at times. So it's just amazing to get to talk to those people, which I did this week, and to see who's connecting with us. So Creed was all about a set of beliefs or aims which guide someone's actions. That's what we've been talking about. And we've been talking specifically about these early church creeds that kind of appear in our scriptures. So they're things that were said, that were recited from the early days of the church. And Paul decides that at times when he needs to make sure they understand what's going on, he goes back and he says, hey, remember this thing that we say like all the time in church? We say this because it reminds us of this. And he used it to make a point or to remind them of a truth so that they actually live that out. So that's really important. That's why we've been doing this, just looking at some different ones and how they appear. And so if you're reading through your New Testament, a lot of times you'll recognize them when they're indented in and they are got quotations around them. You know, he's pulling that from somewhere else. So you can look those up, and we've looked at three of them. So here are the three we're looking at. Christ died for our sins and was buried. He is risen from the dead and was seen. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, one of the earliest creeds that they began to say as a church, so they remembered what it was all about. And they would say this constantly. Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 15 because he needs to talk to them about the resurrection and how it's the center of really everything. Last week we looked at this one, that Jesus is God, Savior, Lord, so worship, trust, and obey him. This is all from Philippians chapter 2, where Paul puts us in and says, hey, I know it's hard to live together sometimes, and you want to always go first. Jesus didn't go first, so let's live up to his example, and talks about he is God, Savior, Lord, worship, trust, and obey him. So today, we are in a letter that Paul writes to a young man by name of Timothy. And he meets Timothy along in his journeys, and he just kind of adopts him, okay? Like, this is my son. He calls him this over and over again. And he ultimately leaves Timothy in Ephesus. So if you ever read the letter to Ephesians, that was probably sent to Timothy, who's in Ephesus, who is the pastor there. And he writes him and helps him out. And so in these two letters, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that's what he's doing. He is simply writing a letter like a father would to a son, hey, remember this, do this. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. Hang in there. All these different things that Paul talks about to him. And in one of these places, 1 Timothy 3:16, in this verse, Paul's going to again reach back into what they were saying as a church and pull out one of those creeds and begin to say it here. And he does so because he wants to remind them of a truth. So here it is. And we all agree our religion contains amazing revelations. There's lots of different ways to translate this. This is one of them. There's some interesting words in here, but it's all about what does it reveal? And so here he goes, and here's the quotes. He was revealed in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. So what does that mean? God in a bod. It was clear he was a man. This is where this is going to sit on, that he came in the flesh, which is what we talk about every Christmas, right? That the word became flesh and dwelt among us, okay? Or if you want to remember a simple way, God in a bod, okay? That's the simplest way I know, just to kind of help us all remember that. This is really, really important that we understand this. So a lot of times, some of your translations will say, Jesus came in the flesh. Well, it doesn't say what the Greek originally said, and what that creed was God came in the flesh. It reminded them that Jesus was God, okay? That's what it reminded them of. They had to have some right theology, and we'll get to this in a moment. He was approved by the Spirit. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit testified that he was God. If you go to his baptism, okay, it says the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. The Father speaks. You have all the Trinity there at his baptism. You have God the Father speaking, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You have the Spirit descending as a dove. You have all three present in that moment. So he said he was approved by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit testified that he was God and he was on a mission. He was seen by angels. And you can read all this in the Gospels, okay? And it was, again, them remind him. They didn't have the Gospels. So they need to be reminded of these things. Angels appeared where? At his birth. We go pre-birth. They appeared to Mary. They appeared to Elizabeth. At his temptation, it says that the angels came and ministered to him. At the empty grave, who is there to say, who you're looking for is not here. He is risen. Angels. So, do you understand? The angels were there. He was seen by them. They testified to who he was. Proclaimed to nations. In other words, the good news is for all. This was really important. And we forget, this is what the early church was saying. Okay? He was proclaimed to just us? Did the Jews say that? No, because that was going out everywhere. He was proclaimed to nations. The good news is for all the people. You can go back to Luke chapter 2, and that's what the angels told them. The good news is for all the people. He was believed on in the world. In other words, people placed their trust in him. This is simply what this creed was. In the last part, taken up in glory after resurrection, 40 days later, he ascends and he sits at the right hand. So it's almost like saying that every week was like a quick theology lesson for them. It just reminded them of some basic truths. Now, I went through those really quick because I want you to understand why he does this. Because I think the why is really, really important. Because we could sit here and most of you go, yeah, I kind of already know that stuff, okay? Maybe you've been around the church a while. Maybe you haven't, and this is some new things. And I'm going to tell you why they're really important that you know them. So why does he write this? Timothy's probably like, Paul, I've been in church a few times, okay? I lead the church. I think I've stood up there when we've gathered and say, okay, let's say this creed together. He was, right? And they would say it together. So he's probably like, Why is he saying this to me? Why? Because the why is really important. Paul pulls all of these out because he needs to remind people, believers, of something. Okay? Just back up a verse. Look what happens. Then, Paul says to Timothy, if I do not come right away, because he wanted to come right away, you will know what people should do in God's family. Wasn't that interesting? Paul wants to come because Timothy's probably having issues, having different things, and he's like, can you come, Paul? They listen to you better than me, okay? Can you please show up? Because they'll listen to you better, which is true, right? Come on, we can just be honest this morning. If Paul walked in here this morning, you would probably listen to him better, okay? Because I bet you he's just better at this, okay? So if he did that, right, we would be like, oh, wow, look at that, okay? So Timothy might have been saying, gosh, Just come here. But he goes, if I don't, I want you to know what people should do in God's family. Okay? What people should do in God's family. So there's something about our practice that's going to go back to what we believe. And this is where it becomes really, really important. And I want us to understand this connection this morning, because this connection is really important. That right belief always equals right practice. Right belief always equals right practice. This is what it's supposed to do. I think at times what we've done is said, well, I believe all the right things. That's good enough. Nope. Right belief is always supposed to lead to right practice. Now, let me give you the big words so you can feel smart this morning that you learned some big words in church. Okay? Here it is. Right orthodoxy, right beliefs, always leads to right orthopraxy, right practice. Okay? Those words just talk about right belief equals right practice. So now you've heard some big words, right? Right belief, right practice. So if we believe the right things, it's going to lead us to practicing the right things. That's what he wants Timothy to know. So he goes back to this creed. Now, what in this creed could help them believe the right thing so they would practice the right thing? Now, I think this is really important because I wonder how many of us are just content with, I believe the right things. I think I have good doctrine. If you've been around the church a long time, you're like, well, I believe all the right things. Okay, but do you do all the right things? Do you know you can take most of Paul's letters? Take the letter to the Ephesians. And in the first part, you see a lot of belief, 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 belief. Okay? You are God's beloved. You were called. You were saved. Jesus rescued you. It goes back to right belief, right belief, right belief. And then it's almost like he just snaps his fingers and takes a corner and says, now you believe all the right things. I need to know if you're going to do the right things now. And then he talks about all sorts of things. He talks about children obeying parents and husbands and wives. How are you doing? And it's almost like, wait a minute, you're meddling now, right? I thought we were just over here in beliefs and we believe all the right things. No, right beliefs always lead to right practices. That's the way it should be in our life. And if it's not, then either we're just lying to ourselves and we really don't believe, or we're just not believing the right things and carrying them out and doing them. So I want to just visit this creed and ask us, are we doing the right things? Are we doing the right things because we believe the right things? Okay, here it is. God came in the flesh. He knows, he understands, he cares. Do you understand how important that is? Do you know how many people think God doesn't understand me, doesn't understand my life, doesn't understand my circumstances, doesn't understand what it's like to live here, but he came in the flesh. He does. He does know what it's like. He does know what it's like to be under temptation. He does know what it's like to be struggling. He does know what it's like to stand at a grave. He does know what it's like to have conflict. He does know what it's like to have family strife. Because guess what? His brothers and sisters were like, there's no way you're God. Okay? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. You can read that in the Gospels. They didn't believe him. He knows all of that. So if we believe he came in the flesh, as we say we do every Christmas when we gather together, oh, yeah, yeah, woo, yeah, we're all on that board, okay? We're all on board that train. Do we actually live it out? Or do you constantly think God does not know you and God doesn't care about you and God doesn't understand what your life is like? Okay? It doesn't matter that when he walked on this earth, okay, there were no such thing as cell phones, social media, cars, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? Sometimes we do that. Yeah, but he wouldn't understand. He wouldn't understand. Yes, he does. He knows, he understands, he cares. I need you to understand that. If you believe God came in the flesh, then you believe, and you're going to carry it out, that he knows, he understands, he cares. I want you to see this in Scripture. This is what Scripture teaches. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God to make atonement for the sins of the people. He had to be. That's just telling us. He had to be. That's the right belief. He came in the flesh. So he knows me, he understands, and he cares. That's what I want you to walk away with. So on Tuesday morning when you wake up, okay, and your alarm's been going off for 20 minutes, okay, and you keep hitting snooze, 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 right? It's terrible, right? You just keep hitting that, and you're like, oh, God doesn't understand my life. Nope, he knows, he understands, he cares. I would love to drill that into you. Because it will make an incredible difference of your relationship with God if you know that key. That he isn't a God who's just out there. No, he knows, he understands, he cares because he's walked in this broken, fallen, messed up world. Watch, for we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses. Okay? He's just not incapable because, well, he was God. Nope, God came in the flesh. But one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Yet he found a way not to vandalize God's wholeness and flourishing for us. He found a way not to do that, to do it without sin. So guess what? There's a perfect source to help us when we're tempted to shortcut and find ways that are not for our good, for our flourishing, for our wholesomeness, for what God desires for us. And that's just one piece. If we get that right, if we get that right belief, it will lead to right practice. Okay, next one, right? Everyone is invited. The good news is for all the people. This is from Luke 2:10. This is where it said he was preached on, he was proclaimed in all the nations. Okay? Everyone is invited. They didn't look and say, oh, see those people over there? No. They live in that one part of the world and there's no way. Nope. All that went out the window. All of that did. Because the gospel is for all. The good news, as we're going to call it, is for all the people. So, if we really believe that, he was proclaimed among the nations, everybody's invited. Then I have a question for you. Who do I think is excluded? Yeah, but they're this, they're that, they do this, they do that. Who do I think is excluded? And who am I acting as if they are excluded? And I'm not seeing if there's some way to help them understand who Jesus is and that Jesus came to save and redeem and to change their life. Because again, right belief equals right practice. See, they're on the outside and the good news is for them. If you want to see anything about Jesus, Jesus loved to deal with people who the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the whole system of that day had just drawn a line and said, you're out here, right? Just drew a line, said, you're out here. And Jesus would go, okay, I'm going to go minister to them. So when Matthew, who's a tax collector, who, let me tell you, they had a line and Matthew was way on the other side of that line, okay? The good news isn't for him. God isn't for him. You're out of the temple. You're out of everything. And Jesus comes and he stands there and he says, hey, Matthew, follow me. Huge scandal. You can't do that. Yes, I can, because the good news is for all the people. And on top of that, after he calls Matthew, he goes, by the way, Matthew, you're going to do something, okay? We're going to have a party at your house. Do you know why? Because all the people who aren't allowed over this line, they're allowed at your house, so invite them all there. And the Pharisees are just, they're losing it with Jesus, right? Because they're like, you can't do this, okay? You can't do this. And that's where he says things like, It's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. Okay, you have drawn a line, you've put all these people out, and that's not what my Father is all about. That's not what the good news is all about. So I'm asking us, where have we drawn a line and we've just put people on the outside and we've just excluded them from even thinking that God could redeem and save and love them? And I know in the back of our mind, yeah, but God could save them. But how do we act? How is our practice? Is it that God can save and redeem them? One of my favorite things to do on Twitter right now, okay? If you're not a Twitter person, that's fine. Some of you are probably like, I can't deal with any of that stuff, okay? It's okay. Is watch this happening. Is following some different individuals who, I'm telling you, were serious on the other line, okay? And found Christ and have been changed in incredible ways. And to hear their story is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing, okay? Because they were way on the outside. And most of us think, oh, God doesn't have a chance to reach them. Yes, he does. And when he does, it's amazing. Because then, let me tell you, then they, being over here, can reach far more people than I ever could. I ever could. They have a door into people that I would never have a door into. And that's what God loves to do. So I'm asking you this morning, who do you think is excluded and is over that line and I don't know if there's any chance for them? Okay? The good news is for all. Right belief is going to lead us to the right practice. Okay? That any opportunity I can to reach over whatever that line is, I ought to be willing to reach over that line with the love of Christ. So we should never, can I tell you, never give up on anyone coming to Christ. If they're not dead, they're not done. I can tell you that. It's just simple. And it'll help you remember that. Never give up on anyone. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've tried. And they've, doesn't matter. We don't give up on anyone. That's what that belief is. That's what that right belief is. The gospel is for all, okay? So I'm not going to give up on anyone until they're dead. And at that point, it's done. I can't do anything about it then. But until that point, I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to look for opportunities that I might possibly reach over that line with the love of Christ and see what God might do in their life. Next one. the last part of this, that Christ is exalted, okay, and that he restores and goes to the Father on our account. Now, what does this mean? This has everything to do with prayer. If prayer at time for you has just felt like, oh, I don't know, this is kind of weird, okay, I'm going to try to help explain a little bit today. In fact, this is what Paul wrote to Timothy earlier. For there is one God and one intermediary between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all, revealing God's purpose at his appointed time. Just said it in the previous chapter. Now, it wasn't a chapter, right? Said it earlier in this very letter. Hey, I don't want you to forget something. So now when he writes that Christ is exalted, Timothy can go back, oh yeah, I understand, I believe that. And therefore, I believe that's what changes everything. By the way, if you didn't know, this is why we will pray in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Well, I don't know. Aren't we supposed to do that? Like a tagline that we just throw on to every prayer, right? Isn't that what we do that for? No, it's not actually why we do that. We actually do that, and maybe we don't even think about it anymore. We do that because that's part of the belief. He's exalted. He sits at the right hand of God. So I pray to Jesus, who goes, God, this is my son. Help him out, right? This is Ed. Help him. He is an intermediary. Some of your things say mediator, and the problem is that definition has kind of changed over time. Intermediary is kind of different. We go to Jesus. Jesus goes to the Father. That's what prayer's about. We have access to the throne of God because of who's sitting at his right hand, who is exalted. And when we get the right belief, it leads to the right practice. That's what I want us to kind of just hone in on. That we would understand what we believe so that we understand why we do the things that we do. Because that will totally help you out. If you ever wonder, oh, why am I stuck in this thing? Well, it's because of something we believe. It's something I believe is true about that. So that's why I do that. Because the belief is going to follow the practice. And for some of us, we've just forgotten some of what Scripture has taught. And do you know how you know that? The practice. The practice every single time. Every single time it's the practice. So starting next week, to hopefully help us even more, we're going to be in Matthew 5, what is called the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon at the beginning, and why Jesus taught that, what he was teaching, what he was trying to help people understand. There's a reason I want to go through that, because I think it's so important that we get some things right, because Jesus is going to challenge us and go, wow, why would I do that? Because right belief is going to follow into right practice. And if the practice isn't right in your life, can I ask, you know what the question you ought to be asking is? What do I believe about that? What do I believe about that? Not what I've heard, not what I think might be true. What do I actually believe about that? Because belief is going to lead us into practice. Your practice is following your belief. Whether you know it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not, but if you'd slow down and ask, that's what's happening in your life. That's what's happening in your life. There's a reason you give. They just released this a little bit ago, okay? There's a reason you give. People give in the church, and this is like the key phrase now, because they see themselves as being generous, that God has blessed them and given them. And they're going to take everything they have because it's a gift from God, and they're going to use it and be generous. That's why people give. And can I tell you what's happening there? Right belief is equaling practice. Okay? That's what's happening. They just order things differently because they believe everything they have is a gift from God. So God has given it to me, absolutely wants me to do something with it, and I can be generous with it. What might God do? If I'm generous, what might God do if I'm generous? That's all it does. It just follows that. And so wherever you're struggling, would you be willing to ask a difficult question? What do I believe about that? What do I believe about that? And how is that affecting my practice? So as with all of these creeds, I've had you kind of stand up at the end, and we've set them together. Now, I just want to make you aware, all the creeds are on a card here, and you can grab one of these. They're by the door this morning. Stick it in your Bible. Be reminded of that. Just simply, that will help you understand the things you believe. So they'll help you practice them, actually do them. Getting it right is going to lead to the right practice. So what I'd like us to do before we end in worship this morning is stand up once again. We're going to pretend like 2,000 years ago, right? I know, right? We're not dressed for 2,000 years ago. It's okay. And we're going to say this together. We're going to pretend it's an early on a Sunday morning as they would gather as a church. And we are going to say this together and just be reminded of this creed, this right orthodoxy that will lead to right orthopraxy. Here we go. Ready? God came in the flesh, approved, seen, proclaimed, trusted in, and is exalted. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I would pray we believe this. That any part that is just missing will come in and be foundational again in our life. So it leads to the right practice. Father, that's what I ask your Holy Spirit to help with this morning. Stir us to know where we've got some things wrong. And we can see it. It's a struggle. It's just a problem in our lives. And we're just struggling with it. That we would ask a really hard question. What do I believe about that? What do I believe about that? Maybe somebody has asked why I think the way I do about something. And it's caused me to ask the question, well, what do I believe? And why do I believe that? Do I believe that because someone told me to believe it? Or do I believe it because I actually saw it in Scripture? So I pray you would help us. For Father, for some of us, we've been in church so long. I think we know everything that's right. We're just not doing it. Something else has crept in to be more important. And I pray, Father, this morning you would reveal that to us. So right belief will follow into right practice. Help us to do that. Father, as we get ready to proclaim this song this morning in worship, in Christ alone, may just remind us of all these truths that we go out and live them out and see the difference it makes in our life and in our practice and the way that we conduct ourselves and the way we live every single day. Father, work and move in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to pray about anything this morning, our prayer team is up front this morning. You can come up. They will pray with you. And let's sing together.